You're locked on The V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Want to wish the best of luck to the University of Louisville men's soccer team, whose NCAA tournament journey gets underway tonight at home. They play at Lynn Stadium, and I think they're playing South Florida, if I'm not mistaken. So good luck, first-year coach, and they've had a difficult year in a very difficult league, but the schedule was enough to get them a place in the field, and we wish them well tonight. So I'm busy doing something else tonight, or I would even consider heading out there to see that action. So good luck to them. Hope they advance and move on in their NCAA tournament run. Also, a team trying to move on are the Indianapolis Colts, a game you'll hear right here on ESPN Louisville. It is tonight. The Colts and the Texans, airtime 73. Wow. 7 is how you do time in this country. 7:30 p.m. It'll be on 93.9 The Ville. A woman who will be part of that broadcast is Lara Overton, and she joins us right now in the fine city of Houston. I kind of dig Houston a little bit. Lara, how's your visit down there going?
I like Houston. I've been here a number of times, of course, when Butler was in the national championship game here. I was covering that, and then a couple of occasions here doing some track and field. So Houston has always treated me very well thus far, so let's hope that that trend continues to treat the Indianapolis Colts well tonight. You said you had other plans, otherwise you'd be at the soccer game, but I'm thinking that your plans are to watch this game, right? That's what you're going to be doing. That's why you can't go to the soccer game, because you're invested in the battle atop the AFC South that's happening this evening, right?
I'll have to smuggle a radio into where I'll be. Okay. It's an awards thing tonight, which that's as much as I can tell you. So there you go.
Okay. So very, very nice.
Yeah. So we'll see how that works out. All right. The Colts, this game, I believe, is simply, if they win, they're going to be in the playoffs, and if they don't, I will be a lot less confident. That's not exactly going out on a limb. I wouldn't rule them out, but, boy, their job is a lot better. Their path is a lot better if they can get this one, isn't it?
Absolutely. But, you know, I think the stakes are even a little bit higher for Houston, just in the sense that Indianapolis won the earlier head-to-head earlier in the season at Indianapolis. So should Indy get the sweep of the Texans, they very much are going to hold ownership of the division moving forward, and the Texans are going to have an uphill climb that way. So I do think that if the Colts win, I mean, not only are they going to stand alone atop the division, but I think they're really going to be in the driver's seat when you look at what the month of December looks like for them. This is certainly going to be you know, one of those matchups when you look at the final stretch of the season. This one certainly carries the most weight in terms of those divisional implications and is going to give them the most security. I mean, you still have, you know, an entire month remaining, but this win would give them a lot of security moving forward in terms of their standing in the division. The Colts will still have the Titans at home and Jacksonville on the road remaining. But, yeah, this one doesn't get bigger than this matchup. And it seems like that each and every time the Colts and Texans go head-to-head, it's one of these major matchups. It's major implications on the line, just as it was last year when these teams had to play twice in the regular season, as you do with divisional opponents, but then another time in the playoffs that was down here in Houston, in which the Colts won. So we're kind of getting used to each and every time these teams go head-to-head, there are major implications, you know, on the line, you know, aside from, oh, yeah, it's a divisional matchup and they count twice and all of those things that we hear in coach speak. But, yeah, this is, for the Colts, this is a huge game, and they're going to have to replicate a lot of the things that made them effective in the first matchup of the season to be successful against Deshaun Watson and the Titans.
What was the key in the first game as we look back on that game? 30-23, they put 30 points on the board. What were the key elements to that might translate till tonight?
Well, what was interesting in that game is that was when the Colts' passing attack really erupted. We'd seen it be, you know, ground game, run game, pound it out throughout the first 6 weeks of the season. And then against the Texans, it was Jacoby Brissett throwing for 4 touchdowns, which was a different offense than what we had seen so far to that point of this season. That also was the point where this defense, the Colts defense, has really started to hit its stride of late, and they did an incredible job limiting what Deshaun Watson is able to do. Obviously, he's a remarkable talent. He has incredibly impressive escapability. The plays that he makes are tough for anyone else to come close to replicating, unless you maybe look at someone like a Patrick Mahomes. And they really did an effective job pressuring him, containing him, and they'll have to do much more of the same. But, of course, too, when you look at that passing attack that made them successful in that first matchup of the season, T.Y. Hilton is still questionable. We do not yet know if he's going to play. He did have a little bit of limited work this week. The Colts just had walkthroughs. They didn't have any full practices because of the short week. So T.Y. Hilton at this point is a game time decision, and he is integral in their success in that passing game.
Talking to Lara Overton, part of the broadcast team for the Colts, a couple of thoughts. One, there's a great piece on Yahoo from Frank Schwab on Yahoo Sports, because the game can actually be seen on Yahoo. They stream it as well, but so they do a preview on it. And he said, you know, and it's kind of amplifying what you just said, Lara. I mean, if the Colts win, they're not only a game ahead in the standings, but essentially they're two games ahead because of the tiebreaker with only 5 weeks left.
Right. But
then he writes about 12 paragraphs on what happens if that's not the case. So the point being, you really want to control your own destiny, you're better off getting a sweep here, there's no doubt. But the other thing he talks about, though, and I want to get your comment on, though, in all fairness, if you're a Colts fan, and a lot of our listeners are, of course, is Colts have some serious injury issues. Marlon Mack's out with a broken hand. Right. T.Y. Hilton and Eric Ebron didn't practice all week. That's a lot of elements of your offense to be missing. What's the latest there?
Well, the only ones who we know are out for sure are Marlon Mack. He had that surgery on his hand on Monday. We know Kari Willis is out, our rookie safety, with a concussion. And I think that they already ruled Devin Funchess out. I'm pretty sure just because he's still working back from the collarbone. Definitively, I know that Kari and Marlon are as well. It does look like that the Colts have a chance to get back cornerback Pierre Desir, who's been out for a number of weeks with a hamstring injury. T.Y. is listed as questionable. Eric Ebron listed as questionable. Eric's working through a bit of an ankle injury. But with both T.Y. and Eric, those guys are gamers. They will show up, put everything from that week prior behind them. And that is what makes these Thursday night games so difficult, is that short turnaround. You're still sore, still banged up from the prior meeting, especially when you're talking about the Colts, who have three straight divisional matchups. And, you know, the Jags, especially from their offense, and, you know, Leonard Fournette, like, he's not an easy guy for this defense to contain. So a lot of the guys defensively this week were saying, hey, he's a tough guy to take down. Nick Foles is a guy who you have to put pressure on. You know, we're still trying to almost, you know, catch our breath from that meeting on Sunday. But I think offensively, you have a chance. There's some hope to get T.Y. Hilton back. I think Eric Ebron would play. It would shock me if he didn't, because he was full go on Sunday and was just limited in some of the work that they had this week. And you have to look at this stable of Colts running backs too. I mean, you look at the game that Jonathan Williams had last week. He and Marlon Mack combined for more than 200 rushing yards. That's the first time since 1985 that a duo of Colts running backs have done that. They also have Nyheim Hines, who is an incredible threat. And then it looks like Jordan Wilkins, who sat out the previous game against Jacksonville, he could be back for this game. He's been recovering from an ankle injury, so they could add him. Also, it just seems like with this offense, with T.Y. Hilton being out, it has been week in and week out different guys stepping up. I mean, Zach Pascal exploded a few games ago, and he's kind of become the next go-to guy for Jacoby Brissett. Last week, Marcus Johnson, a guy who they brought up from the practice squad just in October, he comes up for a huge touchdown last week. It was on fourth down, and Jacoby Brissett was rolling out, scrambling, trying to find somebody, and he finds Marcus Johnson in the back of the end zone. And Marcus is a veteran guy who'd been with Frank Reich in Philadelphia, who this offensive staff has great confidence in. So they just keep finding these guys to step up. Of course, the injuries have been tough, and there's no replacing a guy like a T.Y. Hilton or a Marlon Mack. I mean, you just can't. They're incredibly valuable, integral pieces to this team. But the depth has proven itself to be really strong thus far, and it will have to continue to do so if this team's going to be successful tonight.
What of the you know, we just listed so many guys, and it's football. I mean, that's every team is going to go through this. But yeah, kind of lost in all
Thursday
that is
night game.
Is Jacoby Brissett had his own injury issues. How's his health right now?
He's looking great, feeling great. Yeah, that and that was one of the reasons that they were really cautious with that MCL sprain that he suffered. We saw that happen in Pittsburgh, so they had him out the majority of the game at Pittsburgh, and then the entirety, the first start that he'd missed of the season, he sat against the Dolphins just to be sure. They felt like that he kind of got to a point where he was looking better, and then plateaued a little bit, and he hadn't made the degree of progress they wanted him to see to be a full go against the Dolphins. And I think that although they lost the game against the Dolphins, to have Jacoby doing the things he was able to do last week against Jacksonville, you see the benefit to making sure he's 100% healthy and, you know, is able to be mobile and do the things that he had to do, because he was pressured in a number of situations, had to scramble, and you really saw that the strength of that knee does appear to be there. He practiced, of course, again, it was walkthroughs this week, but appears that no limitations for him whatsoever.
Laura,
I hope that trend continues.
Yeah, right. I'll let you go. I know. I appreciate you taking time out on game day to be with us. Have a good call tonight. Again, folks, locally, you want to hear it. Big, big game for both teams and for the Colts. Colts at Texans, 7:30 airtime on 93.9 The Ville. And Laura Overton will be on the sideline as part of that broadcast. Thanks, Laura. Talk to you next week, we hope.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your event tonight.
I will. Thank you. Bye. I hope we will. Anyway, they're giving out some awards.
We can say it now, can we?
I don't think so. I don't know. Oh. I don't know if the issue's come out yet. So Drew didn't say anything, did he? So we won't. That's all right. We'll save it for tomorrow. For tomorrow.
Well, you know we won.
Who, me or the listeners?
Never mind.
The listeners won best listeners of a most intelligent listeners of a sports radio show. Listeners of the V Show. All of you get one Tootsie Roll.
I thought they won the Forbes baking contest.
Oh, I'm really into these little baking shows, by the way. The holiday baking shows. The British baking shows are the best because they're competitive,
they
but
all
they're
call
not
it sponge,
so nasty.
Though. That threw me off the first couple episodes. I kept thinking they were making sponge cake.
Well, that's the term of the type of cake that they're making. They do, yes, they do a...
Yeah, but I didn't know that. So, I mean, it's a great show. I didn't know
it's
that
very,
term.
Very, it's a very, very
it kind
good
of
show.
Threw me off.
I don't like the nastiness that comes into a lot of American game shows. There's a sense, it's very competitive and there's a lot at stake, but there's an incredible sense of... It's kind of like NASCAR, you know, where they're all cutthroating each other to win, but then if somebody really needs help, they'll... kind of like in the Days of Thunder when they sells them an engine or whatever, a motor. There is that mindset. There's a camaraderie.
Help each other
and
out.
A esprit de corps, such as it were, vis-a-vis the unification of the group to make the entire league a success.
Right. You're only as successful as your
You're
least
only as
tasty
strong
cake.
As the weakest cupcake.
I could go for some cake right now.
I could too. We don't have any. Why don't you run across to Insomnia Cookies and bring back a dozen?
Guess it would go a little bit against our vitality plan.
I have a question.
Instead, I'm going to have a nice cup of coffee with honey on it. Uh-oh, Ann O'Connor's calling me.
Well, yeah. Well, you do that. I'll take a commercial break, hit the commercial, and then we'll be back here on the B-Show on ESPN 680 105.7.
Football's in full swing and about the...
Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
How about that?
I had my heart set on listening to Worldwide Womble. Who is tomorrow his last day, by the way?
It is.
I think he's blowing his clam bake after tomorrow.
Yeah.
Are we going to give him a present or something?
You didn't buy him. No, but I should. I'll go pick something
I
up.
I think I'm going to bring him toast.
I'm going to go get him a bottle of bourbon that we can all sign again like we did with Jason, and then the producers can not pay me back for it like they did last
That's
time.
Why I'm going to bring him toast.
Why are you bringing him toast?
Because I don't care if you.
You were actually his. Toast. You were actually his broadcast partner. You should. You of I'll all people, besides Drew, should get
I'll
him
get
something
him
nice.
Cinnamon raisin toast.
Good man. No, but there is a going away party at Saints. I think tomorrow. I'm not sure I'm supposed to say that. Maybe that was a secret. So if it was supposed to be a secret, we're going to Gerstle's.
You know, Connor's probably not going to join us because he's got to be at the doctor. So that goes out the
program. What if he was giving takes while he was
being examined? Especially if it was like awful. He's at the proctologist, you know. So I got to tell you, this Lamar Jackson story has been, well, that is so infantile. That even for us, we normally do the show at about a seventh grade level. That was like fourth grade. That was below us. That was beneath us. I apologize to you for that. I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, those of you in the listening audience, 96% of you, getting ready to scream at us in languages you don't know how you can speak. And for the 4% of you that like the game, the fastest game on land, ice hockey, I have an ice hockey story.
Yay!
The National Hockey League is going offensive, as in there are a lot of goals being scored. Scoring continues to surge, which is good for the fans. It's tedious. Sorry. Hockey played in playoffs is great drama because of what's at stake, but 2-1 close-checking hockey games are not nearly as compelling as end-to-end action where the speed of the game comes across. 44% of all the games have had a team coming back to win. 66 third-period comebacks. That's, again, if you're not a hockey fan, you say, what the hell? I don't know. What does that mean? Nick knows that the adage was, especially in the playoffs, first goal wins. So you're seeing that 6.2 goals per game on average are the second highest total in 23 years, only behind the post-lockout season, which doesn't really count. And hockey really surged. For older listeners, maybe you'll remember, I used to joke about this with the kids because they didn't. I was doing that thing. Oh, yeah, seen back in the day. The Edmonton Oilers came on the scene, and they would try and beat you 10-7. And
this
I always
the track
used to say,
meet every year.
Poor Grant Fuhr, the goalie's in the Hall of Fame, just because basically they announced at the start of every night, Grant, you can count on maybe 8 odd man rushes tonight. Try and stop 5 of them, and we're good. So, but what he's talking about is if you really love it, and it is, again, around here, I always just report the facts. Hockey is, the cities that have it, it's going pretty well. NBC was shocked. I mean, the rights were literally worth nothing. They were willing to come back on ESPN for basically nothing. And ESPN didn't do it out of nastiness. They just said, we don't have any room. At that point, they used to have the NHL. Now, since that time, they have over 500 college basketball games. They made a big push in the NBA, which is working well for them. They added Major League Soccer. They have a baseball contract. They still do have one weekly game in the NFL. It was like, sorry, there's no room at the inn. And lo and behold, NBC's making some money on the NHL. Now, I'm not going to pretty it up. One of the other reasons the ESPN didn't go after it is at that time, professional bowling got higher TV ratings than the National Hockey League. Because in a lot of cities, people just don't care. But the point is, if the NHL says, hey, we really love the fact that people are scoring goals, he has a suggestion. I'd love to ask my hockey friend here. This guy says, well, then let's embrace it. Let's embrace the hell out of it. And he said, here's one thing to do. Get rid of offside. You want to go wide open? Let's get rid of the offside. We're not even going to go back. We've gone back to breaking the plane of the blue line with a skate that's not on the ice. For the people who don't know, soccer offside drives non-soccer people crazy. They don't understand it, that it's got nothing to do with lines on the field. It's got to be you can't be on offense further than behind any of the defenders other than the goalie without the ball. So the ball, you're offside. So when they move up, you got to move up. It's more subtle. Hockey is very simple. There's a blue line, and you can't be in that offensive zone before the puck is. So it eliminates cherry picking, like basketball, basket hanging. But the guy says, I'm saying let's get rid of offside altogether. He said, I'm a recent convert to this. I wasn't in favor of this. There was a time when I felt it was too radical, but I'm attracted to the reinvention of the game. Would you defend with four players and position one guy down the ice? Would the stretch pass become more beautiful than it already is? Could a player like Connor McDavid become even more wizardly without the confines of the blue line? I'd like to see that, he said. And you know what makes it interesting is now that we've watched three-on-three hockey, overtime three-on-three hockey is, I mean, you get mad that it's over. You almost don't want anybody to score just so they keep playing. It's unbelievable. He said, or go to four-on-four all the time. Play four-on-four, get rid of the fifth guy. The ice is too crowded. Take one player off each side. There's something to be said for that because players are bigger and faster than they've ever been. There was talk about that for basketball a few years ago, that the players are so – man, they used to be 6'6", 6'7", centers in the NBA. Now they're 6'9", point guards. Everybody's gigantic. How about this? Two-minute majors go the full length. Every minor penalty – two-minute minors, rather, go the full length. Every two-minute minor – you're shorthanded for the whole 2 minutes. Right now, if the team scores, that guy comes out of the box. Right now, if they made it so 2 minutes, you'd have, power plays.
Wow, so every minor would almost kind of be a major penalty. Like you would, you'd have to, that could be nuts.
Please note, this might be borne by my desire to see Alex Ovechkin break Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record by next February. So there you go. I think the one thing I've often wondered is, maybe icing should be restricted to if you shoot, get rid of the red line altogether. It should only be restricted if you shoot it down from behind your own blue line. Once you get it into center ice, you can throw it down there and go have at it. That might be interesting.
They do have, like in the adult leagues, they have like blue line icing and stuff.
That's where, what I just
said,
right?
Yeah. So that rule has kind of.
I do wonder what it would look like if you could basket hang.
Honestly, it'd be really weird because the skill set would be a little different. Like, honestly, the defensemen would almost be like free safeties, just wandering out there trying to pick off like these long range passes.
I would like to see them play. I always said in the summer, in the off season, the professional sports should play events with experimental rules, and you may stumble on one that at the time, like, I'll be honest with you, could you imagine if you had introduced 50 years ago to hockey purists, I have a way we'll settle the game. Let's play 3-on-3. They would literally have been justified by punching you in the face and just said, I'm sorry, I don't want to, but I have to on behalf of my sport.
Well, they'd do that anyway, and then they'd grab a beer with you, and it'd be nothing personal.
But now we love it. It's better than the shootout. But the shootout exists just because at that point, if nobody can score 3-on-3, well, it's time we gotta get the hell out of here. So we go to a shootout. Nobody wants to see games end in ties, which is funny because, you know, there was a time not long ago where a lot of games in this country ended in ties. The NFL played ties. There were a lot of ties in the National Football League. They didn't go to overtime. The NHL had a crap ton of ties. Soccer has always embraced a tie. So, but now we've
they
just
call
decided.
Them draws.
We've, yes, well, whatever. The fact is, you know, we by the way, Guy Gout sent me a weird text about that last night. Am I right about this? We didn't get nasty, but it was truly bizarre. I'm a big believer in pet peeves. In fact, comedian Lewis Black has basically put a whole act together predicated on pet peeves, that things that just little irritants that we all can relate to. This was one I just couldn't believe anybody could relate to. I said that team went on an 8-0 run. He said, all you got to do is say they scored, they went on an 8-point run. You don't need the O. If it's a run, you don't need the O. I said, well, how is that a big deal? He said, like, okay, well, if they scored, like they outscored them 8-1, you know, 8-1, you could put that down 8-1 or 8-2, but if it's 8 in a row, just say they scored 8 in a row. I said, well, okay, it's just another way to say it. It's the same way as if I said, okay, they scored 8 of the last 10 points, right? Isn't that the same way as saying they went on an 8-2 run? If they scored 8 of the last 10 points? So it's just another way to say it. I said, I'll be honest. I don't see how that would cause a peeve, let alone a pet peeve. That just seemed bizarre to me. I was just stunned by it. He wasn't really nasty. But, you know, a pet peeve is should have went, like for me, that which is just trampling on grammar. You know, I'm not really the grammar hammer, but that's... You know, that's, I'm not.
If I am,
I don't apologize for it. I do it proudly.
There
respect
it
the language, damn it.
There it is.
I'm just saying.
You got to be very careful because that's basically just an automatic heel character.
The grammar hammer?
A little bit.
I don't think so.
If you use it right.
No, there's no reason. You know, here's what I will say. Like, for example, things that are said more quickly that are grammatically incorrect, okay, I'm willing to buy because it's like I save time. But should have went saves you no time. Watch, ready? Should have gone, three syllables. Should have went, three syllables. Gone, four letters. Went, four letters. Saves you nothing in typing, nothing in speaking. Hard to pronounce. Neither of them are hard to pronounce. They both have a very simple vowel sound in the middle, a short A and a short E. So no advantage. None to be had. So, by the way, Worldwide very publicly announced where the going away party is on Diener's show on Monday.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I know he made the
Worldwide
announcement, but I wasn't
it's
sure
Worldwide.
If it was.
Let's not kid ourselves. Worldwide in his heart of hearts, hoping for gifts. Am I wrong? I mean, I think that's
it's not untrue.
I mean, he's hoping for presents.
Who wouldn't want presents?
Well, some people. No, I can't think of anybody.
Let's say, who would not want presents?
You ever wonder about that? Like, if I died, what would be... No, I just wonder about that. Like, I mean, I don't expect like a big, you know, to do, but would anybody pay attention at all? Would it, like the old days when there was newspapers, might have got a little blurb. I mean, there are still newspapers, but I'm just wondering about that. That's still Trey Wingo's favorite story of mine. We were leaving the Jimmy V Classic, and we were all flying to Richmond to participate in Charles Barkley's tournament. And there were, so on this little private plane was Charles Barkley and, I don't know, three other NBA Hall of Famers. And there was probably five all-time NBA greats, an all-time great football player. It was a very small plane, like a 10-seater. And me and him. And I said, you realize if this plane goes down, we'll be lucky to make the column at all. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, and Trey's, and he said he still has never forgotten that. He laughed his ass off. But it's true. It would be like, also on the plane were two sportscasters, you know, but, you know, that's just that plane went down. You got Barkley. Oh, somebody's banging at the front door. Or is that you?
That was me.
Yeah.
You heard that?
Yeah, Cooper's getting it. Well, the guy was beating the crap out of the door.
Ooh, so, boxes.
What?
We got boxes.
What do you think they are?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's nobody here.
Coop,
you know,
just accepted the delivery.
What is it? Cooper? Cooper, damn it. Bring that in here. Yeah, get him in here. What's your business? State your business. Bring that in. What is that? What is it? What is it? What was it? Well, there's nobody here. We can open it. What is it? What is it, though?
You see that?
Yeah.
You see that? Patrick Jaggers. It's a Comrex.
Patrick Jagoff. I didn't know that was his...
What'd he say?
I don't know.
I said, all this time I've been calling him Patrick Jagoff. I didn't know it was Jaggers. That's
me neither, Bob. I thought it was that, too. Wow, what a coincidence.
You're so funny. But that stinks because now he's... I'm disappointed. That, by the way, you can say because it's a Pittsburgh thing. They all say that. That's a Pittsburgh term of affection. But see, because nobody was here, Pat, so I was excited because it was addressed to like Sweeney or I don't think Diener's here. Nathan's gone. You can just innocently say, well, we had to open it because it might have been time sensitive. And
so we could just open their mail, which is illegal.
Absolutely.
For
not mail, packages. There's a difference. I never open someone's mail.
But how packages, is that difference?
Well, because it might be a perishable. Suppose it was like a leg of lamb or something. And then you leave it there, and they come in the next day, and the whole thing stinks. That, or it could be bobbleheads. And then I want to make sure I get first dibs. Because some things are earmarked for all of us at this station. And why are they showing the Mississippi State announcers on ESPNU? Why are they getting some love? What's all that about? Anyway, so it's just a package, and it was from Comrex, so it was obviously...
Yeah, it's a replacement Comrex, because the... If you were listening to the Midday Rush on Monday, things got weird.
You mean the little unit is shot to crap?
I think it needed a firmware update.
Oh.
As we're talking, you know, terminologies of the radio biz.
Fastest, great text. Fastest game on land is High Lie.
That's a good point.
State your business.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what about that?
Oh, is that the padding? That was the padding that was in.
Coop, you magnificent. Magnificent.
So that was the padding to package the Comrex, and now he's made it a seat cushion?
Oh, it's fabulous. Better for your posture. Oh, I might take a nap.
No, well, what would be the difference? How would the listener know?
Thanks.
The fastest game on land is High Lie, and that would reduce the number of interested listeners to 4/10 of 1% as opposed to the whopping 4% it is talking hockey.
My favorite lines from Archer. We're about to play the most dangerous game. Highline? Trying to find the sound bite.
That's like someone being upset saying offsides on the defense. The offense. No. Oh, right. Offsides on the defense. The offense can't be offside, so it's unnecessary, but it's a weird thing to be upset about. Oh, so the guy's taking my side. Yes. That's true. That's like saying goaltending on the defense. You don't have to say that because offense, we've had this debate on the show before, and I'm sorry to regret to inform you, the offense cannot goaltend. It's it is no terminology for it. It's basket interference. There is no goaltending for the offense. Defense can goaltend, but basket interference can only be on that. Oh, there's my theory. Once a game, the ball almost accidentally goes in the basket, and it just did right there. They threw it in the post. The guy threw it too hard. The postman went to catch it, ricocheted off his hand, bounced up, rolled across the rim, went across. Once a game, the ball almost accidentally goes in the basket. I don't know why that is, but that seems.
But how often does it actually go in?
No, very rarely. That's the thing. But it almost accidentally goes in a lot.
Wow, I'm on this page where I'm trying to play a soundbite for you, and I am.
Don't waste your time. I'm sending you guys a token of appreciation package tomorrow. From my Sagarin earnings. Well, that is so nice.
It's going to be a bucket of poop.
It's not a New York Mike type package or a bobblehead, but it's poop. But I believe you will like it.
Definitely going to be poop.
Why would it, the last line, why would he think we would like that?
What?
He says, but I believe you will like it. And the guy signed his name. So the guys, nobody would send poop if they signed their name. Only the schmucks, the weasels, send the nasty stuff, and then you ask, who is this? And they don't put their name.
Can you say schmuck?
Yes. Okay. So, you know, that's just the reality of it. I learned that a long time ago. That's why it's a lot easier to let things go now, because people say things that if you ask them to put their name behind it, they wouldn't dare. So there's that. By the way, I don't think I mentioned this, and I'm surprised Big Blue Nation hasn't called me out, and they would have been right to do it, because we are, if nothing, if not very fair here. And best of luck to Kentucky as well. They're in the soccer tournament. I didn't realize that. That's quite a story, actually, because the SEC doesn't even offer soccer. They have to play in Conference USA.
Right, right.
But they're ranked 19th, and they get their tournament underway as well. So we've got two teams from the Commonwealth vying for the national championship in soccer. So best of luck to them as well. I love soccer very much, and I wish them the best of luck. I wish that the biggest games on the schedule could be played in a little better weather. But the soccer in the USL gets it done in time, basically. It's just starting to get bad. But, I mean, the poor college championship. I guess they play the soccer cup now, whatever they call it, in California, so it's warmer. But the playoff games are, sometimes they're in really crappy weather. And, that's why baseball, at least they play in crappy weather in college, but at least it's at the start of the season. And then when the championship comes around, the weather's getting nice, so that's good. I don't like the fact that you're playing the most meaningful games where weather could have a disproportionate
That's a good point.
That. Yeah, I don't think
unless they all play in domes.
Bob, don't, this guy, are you not American, Mr. Person? It says, Bob, don't get me started on Americans' inability to use adverbs. I feel as though they are curse words to most Americans. Adverbs are the L-Y words, right?
Yes.
You would use them sparingly or explicitly or violently. I'm not sure how you'd use an adverb violently, but it was an example nonetheless.
All right, here it is. For the love of God and all that is holy.
This had better be worth the damn thing.
No, it's not really, but it's still.
All right, we'll play it.
It's a decent talking point. Basically, yesterday the NCAA ruled on James Wiseman. Oh. And I wanted to get your two cents on it, and Jay Billis weighed in. And he actually said that to a point, it's fair. And that's what I mentioned that on the Midday Rush with Patty Ice. It was like, I think it's interesting in a lot of different ways that Memphis kind of was like, screw you, NCAA. And everyone was like, good for you. That seems to be there's not any precedent with NCAA, except it seems that if you fight them, you have a better outcome than if you don't. And so then the punishment was levied, and it actually seemed like, okay, it's a middle ground. They're not saying he can never play. It's a hefty suspension. It's 12 games, but eh. And so I was like, is that actually kind of
all right, well, play,
something?
Play Bylus' cut.
Here's Bylus on, I believe that's Dari Noka.
How fair is this punishment?
Well, even though it was an odd situation of a booster later becoming the head coach, this was really a garden variety eligibility case. So the ultimate result was pretty clear. It was going to be 9 games, and then the NCAA added the 3 games on that Wiseman played while ineligible for a total of 12. So it was fair from the application of the rules and from the process. Now, I think the rule stinks and it should be changed. I think the rule is unfair, but the application of the rule is fair. And if the NCAA didn't do this, if they didn't give Wiseman the 9 games, which is 30% of the season and stuff that we talked about well before this ruling was ever handed down, they would have been criticized like crazy by others who got the same punishment in the past. So this is normal process for how these sort of extra benefit cases go.
So I wasn't sure what way did he say it's unfair. He shouldn't have been suspended at all. I'm not sure what he meant by that.
I think that's kind of what he was getting at. But if they were to suspend him, that this kind of is. If you are going to make a federal case out of it, then this is a fair punishment.
Oops. Mailman Ryan texted, said, Bob, you opened what exactly? No. I was just saying I opened packages that were addressed to, you know, us, me at the station, but sometimes they use my pseudonyms like Pat Jaggers or Andy Sweeney or stuff like that. But, no, I wouldn't open other people's mail. That's a federal offense.
The B-Show coming to you from
Sing Sing. What's a good Leavenworth? Isn't that a big penitentiary that's still around? To answer your question, here's my thoughts. The whole thing smells to me, and I don't like it because they paid money to get a kid to come to a high school that isn't even – forget about recruiting in your own city. He wasn't even in from that city. They went and got him from across the state. So it sounds crappy. And then I don't like that because he parlayed the success of that team that he got by paying people to come play for him into the head coaching job at Memphis. That's a matter of taste. That the whole thing just smells to me. It's smelly. I don't like it. It's got nothing to do with the fact I do like Tubby, and I think that he did nothing to make it easier for Tubby. I don't want to get into that whole thing. Leave him out of it. Leave him completely out of it. Just look at what transpired. The guy, we get mad around here because some people think that the Catholic high schools recruit local talent. How about this guy? Went and recruited a guy from across the state. You know, and then paid him, forget about just getting him to ask him to come to the school, paid them $11,000 to come to his high school and parlayed that into a team that was so perceived as so powerful he could get the head coaching job at Memphis. That's smelly. I don't like it. Yes, so I resent it. I resent him. That's how I feel. He won't change my mind on that. He might be the nicest guy, you know, since Gandhi. I don't know. I never met Penny. Little Penny was awfully cool in the Nike commercials. But, you know, that's pretty much... that's kind of how I feel about it. Oh, great. You asked me this question, and you want me to get into it. Now you're going to Shanghai me. Watch. This is great. Watch this. This is Nick producing at his best. Right? So I'm right in the middle of making my point, and now you're going to Shanghai me again, right? Isn't that what you're doing? I could see it on your face, right? Isn't that what's happening here? Good. So tell everybody what's going to happen right now. The guy's listening. It's okay. So what do you really think about it? Well, I can't tell you because... we're going to take a break here and go to a guest, which it's always great to talk to him. I feel bad. I'm making Ian feel bad. That's got to be Ian O'Connor. It has to be. Sure. Of course. Okay. Thanks. Ian, thanks for joining us. I appreciate that. I appreciate you taking time out from your doctor visit, but I don't appreciate the fact that my son produces the show as if he's trying to get me to drive it into a wall somewhere.
Well, listen, I haven't been to the eye doctor, I think, in about 30 years, which I was afraid to admit to the doctor that I just visited with, but I ended up in the waiting room there close to 2 hours, so I apologize
wow.
for the delay.
No, that's okay. All right. That's very nice of you. I know you so well. If you said you were going to try and come on, you try and make it happen, so thanks for that. But I got to tell you, you wrote a piece about John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, and this, you know, when you're in a college town as we are, there's a lot of guys that go on and play in the pros, and people have a modicum of interest, but they don't really... you know, the emotional connection with them kind of goes away. It's kind of, but there's a few guys in every school that seems to not be the case. And Louisville, especially, we've got one in the NBA, Donovan Mitchell. And now Lamar, I mean, it's, you know, we air his games here on our station. The Ravens games, we are an official affiliate now here in Louisville, Kentucky, because there's that kind of interest in Lamar. And so this story is going to get great legs here in this town. And the part that I found interesting is, and I encourage people to go read it at ESPN.com, was your point of view about Harbaugh and I don't know what the word would be, his own personal situation where his job security was not exactly nailed down, and he had a guy here that experts all around the league were saying, well, he's a great athlete, but he's not going to be an NFL quarterback. And then there's the element of the 63% of the population in Baltimore being African-American, and what an impact it can make if this guy was a success. That seems to be an awful lot of elements to have to incorporate into a long-term decision about the team. Was he conscious of all of those things when these decisions were made?
Well, I think I do believe so, Bob. I think, and by the way, to have two athletes like Donovan Mitchell and Lamar Jackson in terms of the way they carry themselves and how much they get it,
yep,
that's a great tandem, because Mitchell is, he's really good in that regard too, and Jackson is kind of like a young Tom Brady in that context as a leader, being selfless and getting it and understanding his role. But I think John Harbaugh and talking to him, and now, remember, his brother Jim had Colin Kaepernick in a Super Bowl, right? And their father had Willie Taggart as a four-year starter at quarterback at Western Kentucky in the 1990s. So their family's always been very open-minded, play the best player, black or white, dual-threat quarterback or pocket passer, whoever. Whoever is the best player is going to play that position. And, of course, when they looked at Lamar Jackson for the draft, they liked him a whole lot more than just about every other franchise in the NFL, and it turns out they look like geniuses now. But, yeah, in that city, 63% African-American population in the city of Baltimore, to have a black franchise player at that position, yes, John is very well aware of that. And if that's sort of the final nail in the coffin of the vile stereotypes that black quarterbacks over the years have had to confront and work their way around, then he would be very proud of that. And I think that speaks to him, it speaks to his family, and ultimately to that entire organization.
The headline of the piece, and I know you don't write the headlines, but again, it's telling, why Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh needed each other, and football needed them together. And the link to it, though, when you go to the main page of ESPN, talks about, you know, why he was willing to risk his job to make this decision. Wasn't his, in all fairness, and we like the Harbaughs, you know, they've got a lot of friends in this area. They were obviously at Western Kentucky, and but was his job, his job, I mean, did he put himself in more peril because of playing a black quarterback? He was kind of, or was it because he was getting rid of a Joe Flacco who was a Super Bowl winning quarterback? Or was it just that sometimes the message gets old and fans want a different guy in charge? What about those elements to this whole equation?
I think it just comes down to the fact that he would have missed the playoffs four straight years. Now, uh-huh. If you looked at Harbaugh's record, he only has the one losing season. He's been there a long time. Since what, 2008? So, yeah, his body of work is outstanding when you look at the big picture, but they would have missed the playoffs four straight years. They were 4-5 when Flacco got hurt. They had lost three straight games. And so you're looking at it like, well, you know, we all know he's a good coach. We all know that he'll have multiple job offers. But if we miss the playoffs four straight years, do we keep him? And he was worried. I talked to Tom Crean, his brother-in-law, who confirmed that they had conversations last year with John. There was a period, he said, it wasn't a big window, but a small window where he was definitely worried about losing his job. And Lamar Jackson comes in with six or seven starts. And I think the formation of what you're seeing today of that relationship or the bond that's pretty special really, really starts in that playoff game. Lamar Jackson, the first three quarters of that game against the Chargers, you can't play the position any worse than he played it. And Harbaugh faced a very important decision. Most people wanted Flacco in that game. There are people in the organization who wanted Flacco in that game. And he decided, you know what? I'm not doing that to this kid. And big picture now, he almost led a comeback victory. But a lot of coaches would have pulled him in that situation. In the big picture, John realized he would have hurt his development and the confidence they had in each other. And now we're looking at a guy who right now is the best player in the NFL. So, what if he had pulled him in that situation, what that would have done to the relationship in the offseason and beyond, we don't know because it didn't happen. What we do know is he stayed with him, Jackson responded, and right now he's the front runner for MVP.
Talking to Ian O'Connor from ESPN, I think that's a great point. You know, you wonder, Lamar's so good, and they did make a commitment that I'm sure he would have been successful anyway, but you wonder if he would have had this monster a year if John Harbaugh hadn't shown that faith to stay with him in that playoff game. That carries a lot of weight for players, I think. And I don't know if, you know, he was consciously thinking to himself, well, I don't know if we'll win today, but this is going to pay off down the road. But, you know, I think that if you're a player, you got to love when your coach has that kind of faith in you and that kind of relationship. And it's interesting, in your piece, you allude to the fact that that thing that's gone viral, the discussion on the bench, where I think both of them come across, it's as if it was scripted. Harbaugh says, you change the game, man. You know how many little kids in this country are going to be wearing number 8 playing quarterback in the next 20 years because you and Lamar says perfectly in response, I can't wait to see it when I get older. But right now, I've got to get us to the Super Bowl. I was like, and you said in there that that I guess you Harbaugh told you that, or the Ravens PR people said, they put that out there without asking them because they said if they asked them, they know they would have said no. So,
yeah, but he's happy it got out now. But right. You know, he didn't really want that out there. What's interesting about that exchange, and you alluded to it, Bob, is here usually the head coach is the one who's always preaching, stay in the moment, stay in the moment. Well, John got away from the moment and started talking about 20 years down the line, all these kids wearing his jersey, and Lamar Jackson is the one who says, hey, let's stay in the moment. We're trying to win now. Let's win a Super Bowl first before we start talking about 20 years down the road. I thought that was fascinating that the athlete was the one correcting the head coach in that situation.
But, you know, it's really cool, though, because many of us, especially basketball coaches, look at football guys as sometimes – you know, they're just ripping heads off frogs in the locker room and those kind of guys. And that was such a human, such a relatable, touchy-feely moment that during a game, you know, he's talking to the guy about what your legacy is going to be. You don't envision that for football coaches very much.
No, you don't. And it's interesting, and I think maybe that's what he was a little bit afraid of, that being out there, that people would wonder, well, gee, you know, every day you're telling your athletes to worry about that day, win that day, never mind the game, win this practice session on or this drill on Wednesday or Thursday. And here you are talking about years from now, in the middle of a game on Sunday.
Right, exactly.
But I actually think, you know what, it's okay for coaches to show their humanity at work, on the sideline, on Sundays. And John is really, he is a very human coach, more so than most NFL head coaches. I think that's probably one area where I would say he's better than his brother. And he showed that when they met in the Super Bowl that week, the way he handled it versus Jim. So I think that's one of his major strengths, John Harbaugh. And Lamar Jackson was the perfect athlete at the perfect time for him because he's an energetic, upbeat personality, both of them really. But Lamar Jackson, just being around him for 5 minutes, you can see how he's got that leadership vibe and selfless part of his approach that teammates love and they gravitate toward, right? So, and he's had that at every level, talking to his high school and college coaches, and in the pros, people love Lamar Jackson for that very reason.
So how are your eyes after it's all said and done? You at 20/20, or what's going on?
You know what? I didn't think I was as close to 20/20 as I said I was. I'm 55 now. I'm serious. I have not seen an eye doctor in probably 30 years. So I was a little worried. They said, your eyes are really good for your age, so... I don't wear glasses or anything, so
good for
I
you.
Guess I'm okay.
All right. Well, I'm happy to hear it. Ian, thanks for taking some time with us. We'll talk to you soon. Take care of yourself. Appreciate it. We got to go. Unless you know something, we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Kentuckiana's ESPN 680, WHBE Newburgh, and 105.7 WHBE FM Eminence Frankfurt.